We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, if you'd like to follow with me on the board up here. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, to the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
This morning, I would like for us to discuss the true message of Christmas. Now, before I get into the lesson part, I want to put some things in the right perspective about Christmas that you may or may not be aware of. First of all, let's talk about the star in the east. Now, we talk about it a lot, and we've read about it this morning in our reading. The fact of the matter is, though, the star was not in the east. The wise men were in the east, and they were in the east when they saw the star, and they moved westward to Jesus under the star. The star was west of them. Somehow or the other, they knew that Christ was born, and the star indicated the location of course, his birth. How many wise men were there? We always say, well, there were three. That's always in the nativity scene, right? But the fact is, we don't know. We just know that they were wise men that came from the east to see Jesus. The Bible does not tell us how many wise men there actually was. We do know that there were three gifts that were, or different gifts that were given to Jesus, that of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, we read that just a few moments ago from our reading. Now, the question next is, where did they see Jesus? Again, the nativity scene puts them at the manger, looking at Jesus in the manger with the shepherds and with Mary and Joseph. Of course, this is not true. It would have been an impossibility for the wise men to see the star from the east and travel what would have been about 1,000 miles to see Jesus and be there while he was still in the manger. It would have taken several months, or maybe even up to 2 years, it is estimated, for them to travel the distance from their home to the time where they saw the star. Now, according to verse 11 of the text that we just read, the wise men came to Jesus when he was in a house. He was not in a stable. And at a time that he was much older than birth, perhaps even as old as 1.5 to 2 years of age, much later time than his birth. So these are some things about the actual birth of Christ that some people don't think about and may not even be aware of, that it had to be this way. Now I want to talk about the origin of the Christmas holiday that we will be celebrating later on this week. The first Christmas holiday was actually observed and celebrated in Rome in the year 336 A.D., 3 centuries after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. The Roman Catholic Church set the date of December 25th as the birth of Jesus in an attempt to overshadow the Roman pagan worshipers who used December the 25th as the day to celebrate the birth of their pagan god. In the year 800 AD, the Christmas holiday became a political event as Charlemagne was crowned as the Holy Roman Emperor on Christmas Day, making this day a political day. In 1823, the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas was written, later to be known as The Night Before Christmas, which we know today. This popularized the character of Santa Claus that we use today with our children. In 1931, Coca-Cola used the image of Santa Claus to promote their product in advertisements and gave to us the modern look and the personality of the Santa Claus that we use today, again, for the most part, with our children. Another thing we need to know, Jesus Christ was not born on December the 25th. The day of his birth is not mentioned in the Bible or from any other source of reputation. It certainly would not have been in the wintertime, as we are now in the wintertime here in America, in the Northern Hemisphere, because it says that the shepherds were in the field. And this did not happen during the winter months of having sheep. Food was stored and kept for them for the winter months. But yet and still, with all of this understanding now about Christmas, it is still a great event, an event that we need to recall with gratitude, the fact that Jesus was born and came into this world. Now, let me say this. Remembering the birth of Jesus is not a sin. You know, there are many people within the Christian realm of religion, particularly within the churches of Christ, who look at recognizing Christ's birth and remembering and celebrating it as sinful. Some feel that you should never utter the word Christmas in public. One congregation that I worked for, they participated in the Santa Claus part and the giving of the gifts and that aspect of Christmas, but would not call it such. We were told that it was a holiday party, not a Christmas party. We were told to tell everybody season's greetings and not say Merry Christmas. We had holidays that we would observe, but this one we did not. Some congregations would rip songs out of their hymnals, songs like Away in a Manger, O Come All You Faithful, and Joy to the World, which we just sang, because they thought that it would be sinful to sing these songs because they celebrate the birth of Christ. I personally think this is a terrible mistake. No, celebrating Christ's birth is not a commanded sacrament like our communion is and like our plan of salvation is and like the way we worship God is. But yet it was a great religious event that took place for the benefit of all of mankind. Now the next question is, was it celebrated and should it be celebrated today? I suggest that yes, it was celebrated when he was born. We have a very happy prophecy from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward, even forever. and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And if you look at that word zeal, you will find it meaning with eagerness and being enthusiastic with interest, something that you have fervor in. There was great joy on the part of the angels that celebrated the coming of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. The angel said to them, talking about the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." We find great enthusiasm and zeal on the part of the shepherds as they went to see the Christ child as he laid in the manger. And in fact, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, we are told that then when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And then, of course, as we read from our text this morning, it was with great enthusiasm and zeal that the wise men traveled about 1,000 miles to see the Christ child, to worship him, and to give him these gifts. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, "When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And then we have Simeon in Luke chapter 2, who also celebrated the birth of Christ. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 28 beginning, it says that he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So again, let's ask the question, was the birth of Jesus celebrated? Now, the argument will continue as long as time remains whether or not we should celebrate the birth of Christ. But we can't deny, because of the fact that comes from Scripture itself, the birth of Jesus Christ was celebrated. But you know, that's not what this lesson is about this morning. The true message of Christmas is not about his birth. It is about his life. So I want to suggest maybe just a few things that we need to think about when we think about the true message of Christmas. The true message of Christmas is this: Jesus was a visible token of God and God's love for us. We love that beautiful verse in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we find Paul joining in with this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, it was because of his great love that we are here today loving him and loving his Son and loving the Holy Spirit. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 that we love him because he first loved us. And then he goes on to tell us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And by the way, we are keeping his commandment this morning by coming together as his family to worship him. That verse goes on to say that his commandments are not burdensome. When we obey God, it should be a privilege and not a dread. And then Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. So all of the elements are there for love, that we love our God. We love His Son, Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit, which gave us His Word. The love of God clearly rings out this time of year. But it should be a message that rings out every day of the year, and not just on December the 25th. So the true message of Christmas is Jesus is the visible token of God with us. The real message of Jesus, of Christmas, is Jesus offering hope to a lost world. You know, mankind has not always needed a Savior. But then, we've not always had a Savior. Before man's sin in the Garden of Eden, man enjoyed a sinless relationship with God. But after sin entered into the lives of man, man became alienated from God and separated from Him. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, Ephesians 2, verse 12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. A loss of hope is man's greatest loss. My friends, we can lose our property. We can lose our money. We can lose our prestige. We can lose our friends. But when we lose hope, there is no longer hope for any of these things. There is no longer hope for anything if we lose that element of our lives. Paul said that Christ gives us hope. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope gives us strength. Hope gives us encouragement. Hope gives us determination to succeed in life. And as a Christian, our lives should be filled with hope. That's one of the true messages of Christmas. The true message of Christmas is God proving to be a great demonstration of unselfishness. Have you ever noticed the unselfishness of God? I mean, listen to His own words in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, where He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. His service to others went as far as death. That, my friend, is unselfishness. And let me suggest this. We are failures unless we serve others as well. Back up to verse 27. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. In other words, let him be your servant. Because we are servants of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a life of service, and He expects a life of service from us as well. And then the real message of Christmas is Jesus, the light of the world. You know, Jesus depicted Himself as being just that, light. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then He tells us to be light as well. Matthew 5 verse 14 beginning, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Light. It is so important for the Christian. But why light? What is it about light that we must be light? Well, because light dispels darkness. And sin is darkness. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let people see what it's really like. Let the dark people know how they really are, and that light can come into their lives and remove the darkness from them. The Christmas message should shine, and it should shine year-round. The light of the Lord and the light of the Christian who serves the Lord. And then finally, the true message of Christmas is Jesus, God with us. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we are told, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know, sometimes I guess that's a hard thing for us to fathom, that the God of this universe, the God that created us and everything around us, was actually here in the flesh with us. But John said in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word, talking about Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was here. He was with us. He was one of us. And again, sometimes that's hard for us to really understand. But He was here in humanity. He cried like us. He bled like us. He laughed like us. And now, He is the light. The light that we should follow. I want to tell you today, my friends, that God is still with us. He Himself has said through the writer of Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, and verse 20, where two or three are gathered in My name, I am there in the midst of them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that we can take every step in this life and we will never be alone, because God will be with us. Yes, my dear friend, we need to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not on December the 25th only, but every day that we draw breath. Christmas Day should be no different than any other day when it comes to our Christianity. We should be thankful always that we have a privilege of honoring our God and worshiping our God every week. So I ask you, in closing this lesson, do you honor Jesus in your heart? And when you sit down on Christmas Day to open your gifts or to have your feast or whatever it is that you do on this special day, it is fitting that we honor Jesus and His coming. And when we pillow our heads that night to thank God for our Lord and our Savior. And when we rise on December the 26th, we need to do that all over again and continue every day of our lives. Because I want to tell you that your God, our Heavenly Father, will bless you, will gift you every day after Christmas. So if you're not honoring Christ in your heart, begin that today. If you're not a Christian, give your life to Him today so that you can honor Him as a Christian and live for Him and serve Him as a Christian. And if you are a Christian and you have walked away from your God, you can come back to your God today and honor Him once again with your life. And you can continue it every day of your life. And not just on Thursday, but every day. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.